In the second reading today, St. Paul, in his letter to the Hebrews, contrasts two different mountains. One he talks about that could not be approached, could not be touched with blazing fire and gloomy darkness and storm and trumpet blast and a voice speaking words that those heard beg that they would no further message be given to them and so on. And then the other one, Mount Zion, the temple of the living God and so on. What's he getting at? What he's doing is contrasting the two different covenants. You have to remember, first of all, he's writing to the Hebrew people. So he's writing to Jewish people, and he's telling them about what happened when the covenant with Moses was made. So the people had just come out of Egypt, come through the Red Sea, they went through the desert, and now they are at Mount Sinai. And Moses is about to go up Mount Sinai to be able to receive the Ten Commandments. But before he does, God tells them that no one can touch the mountain, not even the base of the mountain. If they touched the mountain, they had to be put to death. And that included even an animal. If an animal touched the mountain, the animal had to be put to death because this was a holy mountain. No one could touch it. Then he brought all the people together and God spoke to the people. And in what I would consider one of the most tragic of all the verses in sacred scripture, it says that the people came to Moses and begged him that they would never again hear the voice of God. Really, we do not want to hear his voice. You talk to him and then you tell us what he said, but we do not want to hear his voice again. How sad is that? When God came down on the mountain, recall, he came down in a dark cloud and there was lightning and there was thunder and there was a trumpet blast and all these different things that were going on. The mountain shook and there was smoke and all these things that were happening. It was showing the power of God, but it was apart from the people. And they couldn't come to the mountain. But that covenant that was made was apart from the people. It was external to the people. So they were brought into the covenant, but it was outside of them. Now we look at the contrast. We have Mount Zion. So first, Mount Sinai, remember, is in Arabia. It's out in the Arabian desert. Mount Zion is in the Holy Land, in the Promised Land. So now this is the place that God had promised. He had made a promise, but they were essentially still slaves back then. They had just come out of Egypt, so they were freed, but they were still essentially slaves. And to demonstrate it, remember, they made the golden calf and worshiped the blasted thing. Now they are in the Holy Land, the land God promised them. And now there is a new covenant that is being made. And in that covenant, it is not on a mountain that they can't touch, but in fact, on a mountain that they're supposed to be drawn to. Remember, our Lord told us, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw people to myself. So we are to be drawn to this mountain. The prophet Isaiah had said something similar, that people from all the nations, he said, would come to Jerusalem to go up to the mountain of God to be able to receive instruction, to hear the voice of God, to receive instruction from the Lord. So again, we've got just the opposite happening here. And the reason that just the opposite is happening is because what happens in us is just the opposite. The old covenant, as I mentioned, was something external. It was written on two tablets of stone. It was external to the people. The new covenant is internal. It is written in your heart. It is something that is entirely personal. In fact, the new covenant, remember, is a person. The new covenant is the Lord Jesus himself. And you are incorporated into Jesus at the moment that you are baptized. And so it is not something that you have to stay away from, but rather something that you are drawn to. And when we think about what happens in this covenant, we are told that it's the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, countless of angels in festal gathering, the assembly of the firstborn enrolled of heaven, God the judge of all, the spirits of the just made perfect, Jesus a mediator of a new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. What's that mean? Remember when Cain killed Abel, God said to him, "Your brother's blood cries out to me from the earth." Abel's blood cried out to heaven for vengeance because of the murder that had taken place. The blood of Jesus was poured out at Mount Zion. But rather than calling out for vengeance, his blood calls out for mercy, to bring the mercy of God to his people. So that's what we have going on. Now we look at this and say, okay, if this is the case and I'm to be drawn to the mountain, why would I be drawn? Because God loves you, because he has called you. But we must be very clear that it is not because we have earned it or we have deserved it. It's not a reward for something we have done. And it doesn't take a genius to be able to look at it and say, gee, do you think God was looking at all humanity and he looked at me and said, wow, is that guy ever good? I'm going to take him for myself. No, it's just the opposite. Again, look in the mirror. Are you going to look at it and say, no one's better than me? I'm the best, that's why God chose me. No. In fact, the church surrounds this reading that we heard from St. Paul with two readings reminding us about humility. Because we aren't worthy. Because we didn't do this ourselves. It is a gift from God. So the wise man of the Old Testament, Sirach, says, conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than a giver of gifts. If you are giving away gifts, you're going to be a pretty popular person until you run out of gifts. And then all of your friends are going to disappear. They just wanted what you had. They weren't interested in you. Well, they'll tell you what a great person you are as long as you're doling out the money. But as soon as the money's gone, well, now you're just a loser, I guess. They don't care about you. They only care about what you have. What we want is to be loved for who we are. And that requires some humility. The reason that requires humility is because most of us live behind a facade. We put up this facade to make everybody think a certain way of us. But if somebody loves you for what they think you are and not for what you really are, then they don't really love you. They love the facade. So the facade has to come down so that we can actually be loved and accepted for who we are. And we all know people who are humble. We've all met them, and we are very much attracted to their humility. The problem is that, number one, humility doesn't come naturally to us. In my life, I think I've met a couple of people who are kind of naturally humble. I can count them all on one hand, and I don't need all the fingers. It just is very, very, very rare that that would happen. Most of us have massive problems with arrogance. Pride is a huge issue. And that becomes the second problem. The only way to humility is through humiliation. Mother Teresa of Calcutta put it so perfectly when she said to her nuns, "It takes a lot of humiliation to gain a little humility." Well, I also haven't met very many people who like being humiliated. And so we wish we could have some humility, but we really don't want to do what's necessary to get it. But when we look at the gospel reading today, our Lord tells us to be humble. In that example he's giving people, we're looking for the places of honor. We don't necessarily do that so much anymore at dinners, but we've all put ourselves into positions where we probably shouldn't have been, and then we wind up getting embarrassed because of whatever somebody else is there, whatnot, and we're put in our place. Now, we would have known that we shouldn't have done that, but our pride kind of lets us do that anyway. And most of us, unfortunately, the only way that we learn is to be humiliated. When that happens a couple of times and we're embarrassed, at least we learn not to do it anymore. Now, even there, we can't suggest that it's out of humility, because most of us simply won't do that again because we don't want to be embarrassed. It's our pride still saying, I don't want to be humiliated. A truly humble person wouldn't think that they should do it in the first place. That's what we want to keep striving for. And the reason why we want to strive for that, remember, is that the amount of charity that you have is equal to the amount of humility that you have. So the more humble you are, the more charity you're going to have. And that becomes essential, because it is only charity, love, that is going to fulfill us. It's what we're made for. We're made in the image and likeness of God, who is love. And so it's the only thing that will fulfill us. Again, we've all got enough experience to know how many times we thought, if I could just get this thing, whatever it is, then I'll be happy. Yeah, for a couple of days you might dance around because you finally got the thing, and then you're looking for the next thing because this thing doesn't really make you happy. Look around your house. You got lots of those things. If I could just get this one thing, then I'll be fulfilled. Doesn't work. If I can just be loved for who I am and love as I was created to love, then I will be fulfilled. None of the other stuff matters. But that means we have to let the guard down. We have to get rid of the facade so that we can actually open our hearts to allow ourselves to be loved. And again, isn't that exactly what we heard in the first reading? Humble yourself, the more the greater you are, and you will find favor with God. That's what we want. The favor with God is His grace, is His love. Now again, think about it for a minute. When we think about the idea of, number one, coming to Mount Zion, again, St. Paul makes very clear that the one mountain we couldn't touch, this one we can. We're invited to climb that mountain. And what are we going to find when we get to the top of the mountain? The cross. And so a lot of us are going to say, I don't know if I want to go up that mountain, because I don't know if I really want the cross. I don't know at the same time if I want to let this facade down, because I'm afraid of being rejected. I'm afraid of being hurt. Do we really want the instruction of God? Or are we like the Jewish people at Mount Zion, at Mount Sinai, that said, we don't ever want to hear God's voice again? God wants to speak in the silence of your heart. Do you want to hear it? He's inviting you to Himself. Do you want to answer His call? If we look at that, let's put it into a different context. Because if we say, I'm not so sure that I really want to do that, at the same time, I think everybody here would say, I want to go to heaven. So in other words, you're saying, I want to spend eternity with God. But I don't want to hear his voice. I don't want to be drawn to him. I don't want to talk to him. I'm staying away. Like, it's one or the other. Do you want to go to heaven and be with him where you're going to look at him, you're going to hear his voice, you're going to love him and be loved by him for eternity? Then why wouldn't you want the same thing during time? If you don't want to be near God, if you don't want to hear his voice, if you don't want his instruction, then why would you want to go to heaven? See the disconnect? We are called to God. We are sons and daughters of God because we are incorporated into the Lord Jesus. And so we are united with him. We can't stay away, but we need to draw near. But in order for that to happen, we have to let the guard down. We have to be humble. Let the Lord lift you up. That's exactly, again, what our Lord is talking about. If we're going to try and exalt ourselves, if we're going to try and tell him on the day of judgment how wonderful we are and that we deserve to be in heaven, well, that's not going to be a good day for us, because then we're going to be humiliated. If we can honestly stand before the Lord and just say, "Have mercy on me, a sinner," he's going to say, "Friend, come up higher." He's looking for our humility because he's looking for our love. And if we can only love to the degree that we are humble, then we need to pray for that humility. Brace yourself when you do, because, yeah, you're going to be humiliated. But that's the way to humility. That's the way to break that shell that we've got built up around our hearts. It's the way to let that facade down so that the real person can come out. And if somebody doesn't love you for who you are, you don't really want them in your life anyway. If somebody only loves you for your facade, the whole thing is fake. God loves you for who you really are. The people that God has brought into your life will love you for who you really are. So take the risk. Let the facade down. Yes, there will be some rejections from some people who you thought were your friends. Yes, there will be some hurt because you open your heart, you're going to get hurt. But you will find fulfillment because you will be loved and you will be able to love. And once that happens, it just continues to grow. And it prepares you then for eternity. Because God is love. The more you love, the more near you draw to him. The more you unite yourself with him, the more you're going to love him. And that's what eternity is about. Drawing near to God, loving him, and being loved by him. It really is just that simple. But in order to love him, we have to be humble. So that's the challenge. Do we really want that? That's what we're being offered. That's what we're being invited to. The Lord has given us a covenant. He is the covenant. And from the cross now, up on the top of Mount Zion, he invites us to himself. If we're willing to climb that mountain, if we're willing to receive, to accept his invitation, then we need to let go of the pretense, put the guard down, just as he has opened his heart to you, open your heart to him, receive his love, and love him. In that way, you will be fulfilled in this life, and you will prepare yourself for absolute perfect fulfillment for the rest of eternity.